Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Thanks to Time Out Bookstore in Mount Eden, and a big warm welcome to George Fenwick.
Kia ora, how are you doing?
I'm good. Now, you're a former BFM volunteer. You used to do The Wire and all sorts up here, news reading, everything.
I did. It was weird walking up the stairs today. I felt a real hit of nostalgia. I like that the station looks pretty much the same. It's really, really nice. It's like you dressed it for me.
It doesn't matter who comes in here, whether they like used to volunteer here in the 70s or... you know, sort of any time they would come and go, oh my God, it looks exactly the same.
We say with love, I guess. It feels like, you know, some things, I guess as you get older, everything changes, but it's nice that some things don't, you know.
Yep.
You can hold on to a piece of yourself. What I do like coming up this time, though, is that, like, I used to come up with so much fear because, like, I would just, I don't know, find new ways to destroy reading the news every single day. Or like, I don't know, say the wrong thing. So I feel much more like at ease this time, which is nice.
There's no hard names to pronounce.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Weird places to try and rattle off.
Yeah, exactly. Or just like, I had a real issue with just like motor mouthing. I would just speed through the news. Like I was like just reading them at double speed. And like people would be like, oh yeah, maybe just like take a breath like next time you do it. And I'd be like, okay.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
George Fenwick, on behalf of Time Out Bookstore in Mount Eden this morning, you are reviewing a book, I believe it's titled When the Going Was Good, An Editor's Adventures During the Last Golden Age of Magazines.
Correct. That was really good reading upside down of you. This is the new memoir by Graydon Carter. He was the editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair for 25 years. So it's, you know, it's ostensibly about his life. He starts like way back when he grew up in Canada. But it's also about the magazine industry and the fall of the magazine industry and the way that we now know that there was like a real golden age of magazines.
Does he capture the atmosphere quite well in his book, would you say?
For sure. In a way that almost feels a little bit like obscene. He talks about it being like a quote expense economy where like they were selling advertising for so much money in Vanity Fair that the writers would like go on these lavish trips. Say they had one interview in London or something, or one interview in Los Angeles. They would go for like a week, stay at the nicest hotel, expense every meal. He, even before he was at Vanity Fair, he worked at Time Magazine, and he talks about how he never had to switch his oven on for 5 years because everything was expense. Dinners, like food, drinks, so much drinking. So you sort of really understand that, like, even though it seems like it was really fun and also like genuinely quite inducive to writing good work and having the time to work on good journalism, you do get the sense that the bubble was always going to burst eventually because, like, I mean, I'm sure there are other industries out there that live that lavishly, but I don't think anyone adjacent to the media now has ever like had that level of unless you're like, I don't know, 80 maybe, but certainly in my career I've never had that level of like, when I worked at the Herald, I would sort of walk over with my receipt for like an oat milk flat white and be like, do you mind if I get this reimbursed please, if I'd like bought it for an interviewee or something like that, let alone dinner. So yeah, it captures
times
it very
have changed.
Well.
Times
I know.
Changed. Now, talk us through it. Where do we? Obviously, we've talked about his early years, mm-hmm. kicking off in Canada, and some of the crazy things, or I guess the more lavish things. What else does he cover off in the book?
What I quite liked about it is that he positions himself as an outsider, but it is kind of genuine. His early career was actually working in student media and. Canada in Ottawa, but a far cry from Vanity Fair. It was just sort of like, I think he started out the student magazine and then he ended up starting his own newspaper. That was it did sort of resemble what he grew Vanity Fair to be, where it was sort of had an interest in culture, but also it was very political and there were lots of, you know, there was deep dives into politics and news. But the really interesting part of it is that he's such an example of like a man failing upwards because the magazine was a bust. It didn't make any money. It certainly was read, but he talks about how he was just like not really a numbers guy, not really a money guy. So it went bust. But then he just sort of washed up in New York and talks about his efforts to get into the media there, crack into it as an outsider, someone who wasn't born into it, which so many people in New York media, I think, are and were. And something I think was quite inspiring, actually, about the book is that he literally got his job, his start in New York media because he went, I think he said he posted letters to everyone, the editors they thought counted. And they were all sort of like, oh, yeah, like, nice to meet you, but no, nothing at the moment. And his last one was with Time. And as he was leaving, the Time guy was like, oh, yeah, like, well, I'll let you know if I've got anything. And he says he grabs his wrist. And he's like, no, you don't understand it. I need a job, and I need a job now. And then he gets a call like half an hour later being like, yeah, coming on Monday, which I think, like, I don't encourage anyone to like touch people in job interviews. Like, certainly don't do that. But I do think like it speaks for just like really not taking no for an answer when you're like trying to crack into something you want to get into, or just like being the squeaky wheel. Which is quite nice. And then also a massive part of the book is later, once he was sort of ensconced at Vanity Fair, he was the creator of the Vanity Fair Oscar party, which is like a good like nearly 100 pages of the book is devoted to that. And it's so juicy. You get stories about, like, you know, Donald Trump wanting to come desperately and then, you know, talking it, bad mouthing it in the press afterwards because he had this sort of weird rivalry with Graydon Carter. People like Courtney Love getting turned away at the door and screaming as they were sort of escorted out. Paris Hilton desperately trying to get invited and then actually ended up being like a very charismatic guest. That's anyone who's interested in like Hollywood and the glamour of it. It's a really enjoyable piece in that section.
Now, he's coming from a fairly unique perspective. Does he give much of a critique on the industry's evolution or decline?
He does a little bit towards the end. I mean, as he sort of states, he's not an economist, but he does talk about how there was a very quick, swift change with the global financial crisis. And throughout his tenure at Vanity Fair, he worked under Cy Newhouse, who was a billionaire who his family just sort of owned lots of Condé Nast. But then it changed hands. And even though this guy, Cy Newhouse, was just extraordinarily rich, he is described by Graydon Carter as someone who had a genuine love of the written word and what a magazine could do and its place in a city. Whereas he describes that the new ownership of Condé Nast just sort of was much more focused on turning a profit rather than actually making a good magazine. And there's some quite juicy stuff about how when that change happened, Anna Wintour was appointed to sort of the overarching editorial director, and she quite coldly, she didn't make Graydon Carter walk, but she quite coldly makes a lot of demands that he wasn't happy with. He sort of describes throughout his frenemyship with Anna Wintour. They sounds like they were cordial and they both had obviously jobs to do that were very similar, but you know, he talks about the fact that she was known for, like, if you were out for dinner with Anna Wintour, she would finish, and even if other people were eating, she would request the bill and make sure that everyone had to start getting going. I think that was her kind of vibe.
Now, just for your general member of the public who may not be too familiar with some of these big titans of publishing and, you know, like the golden era of the media industry, how would you say when the going was good affairs for, you know, just like a general person to walk into and read? Do you think I could just pick it up and get a fairly good bearing on the industry and be comfortable with the characters?
Yeah, I guess that there is... one criticism of the book is it does feel a bit like Inside Baseball for a while. Like, you do kind of, he expects you to have read Vanity Fair and to know what he's talking about. And when he's name dropping like Fran Lebowitz and that sort of thing, he expects you to know who he's talking about. So it is sort of a bit insular. But I would say in general, if you like the written word, a lot of what I loved about this book is that he always brings it back to why he wanted to do what he was doing. And that's because he loves the written word and he loves good journalism. And it really left me with a feeling of like, damn, like that is what we're losing in a world where the media is struggling to survive is like, you know, and it's not just like the beauty of the written word. It's the opportunities that they had to hold people in power to account and go really long on corruption in the American government and on Wall Street and that sort of thing. So he has a real reverence for what a magazine can do in the like really immediate sense of it being a bastion of good journalism. Mm. And I think, you know, we obviously have comparable examples here, you know, places like Metro or places that have sadly aren't in publication anymore. But I think, yeah, from a New Zealand perspective, it's quite inspiring to read about like, why do we like to read and why should we write? So yeah, apart from the sort of like navel-gazy, like I was such an important person with all these famous friends, that's what it sort of comes back to at the end of the day, I think.
Excellent. All right. The name of the book once again, and how much is it on the shelf at Time Out?
When the Going Was Good, subtitle, An Editor's Adventures During the Last Golden Age of Magazines by Graydon Carter, and it's $40.
Excellent. Hey, George Fenwick from Time Out Bookstore there in Mount Eden, thank you so much for Loose Reads this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Cheers, bro.
That was Loose Reads.